Like to invite you over to the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 17. The Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 17. The Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 17 reads this way. It says, "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was come, went to meet him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you again for the privilege of gathering together in your house, Lord, to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence tonight. We do ask for your blessing and your guidance to give us your wisdom and understanding. And Lord, just may you be honored and glorified and highly exalted in our hearts and minds and in our lives. And may you strengthen the faith that you've given to us. And may we be the witnesses and the testimony of your great grace that you've called us to. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "Lord, if thou hadst been here." Can you kind of see where she's coming from? "Lord, if thou hadst been here." And so basically tonight, we're going to consider something that really perplexes the heart and mind of every believer, and that is God's timing in our lives. You ever been there? Lord, you know, how about yesterday? You ever been like you're waiting for something and things like that can happen? Especially when we're dealing with the trials that God allows into our lives. And the reason why we have troubles really with the Lord's timing is because we're in this process of learning to trust him with our whole life completely, right? Trust the Lord wholeheartedly. And there's a learning process in that. The disciples went through that. And we're seeing that here take place in the life of Mary and Martha, as well as all the other disciples. And so tonight we're going to consider three reasons why God allows trials into the life of his children. That's what we are. We're the children of God. We're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the first, amen, the firstborn of all the others that are coming on. And that's the brothers and sisters that he's bringing into salvation. Isn't that something? We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the truth. God loves us and wants everything that he allows into our lives for our good and his glory. That's really what it's all about. So the first of the three reasons is the glory of God, right? The glory of the Lord. And secondly, why God allows these trials into our lives is to reveal what we don't know about the Lord. There are things that the disciples didn't understand about the Lord that they had learned. And then thirdly, we're going to consider to give us a personal experience that strengthens our faith in the power of God's great grace. So back up with me, if you will, to verse 1. And we're going to just try to cover some ground here. And notice what it says here in verse 1. It says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." So they have faith. They sent to the Lord that he might come and help so they had that kind of faith. They believed that the Lord could have healed him, right? But here's what they did not know. They did not know, and the other disciples did not know either, is that the Lord is the resurrection and the life. Amen? And so this is something that God wanted to reveal to them and to us for as we read this. Now, here's the truth. I'm going to tell you kind of like the good thought, and we're going to get into this here as we go. I was going to kind of save it for a little while, but here's the thing. Nobody wants to be where Mary and Martha were when their brother died. Nobody wants to be there. Isn't that the truth? But question, listen, did Mary and Martha mind being where they were at when Lazarus was risen from the grave? No, they were excited, weren't they? So you see the process there? God was doing something for his honor and glory and to build their faith in who he was. And you know, it's the way the Lord works. The Lord works in every situation in our lives. And God wants to bring us to the place to where we have peace. Listen, and we're not moved. We don't get anxious.
We don't get excited in the sense of with fear or concern, but we have confidence. And the only way that that happens, and I want you to know something, I am not an expert in this field. Amen. It's a daily walk, trusting the Lord that He is working out all these things for our good. And that's something between you personally and the Lord. Nobody can do that for us. It's something that God does personally and wants to do personally in our own lives, to where we're unmovable, and God builds this confidence, and we could be like the disciples, even though the disciples didn't know anything. Remember when the Lord said, "You must drink of my blood and eat of my flesh," and many of the disciples left, and then He looked over to the 12 and said, "Will you also leave?" And Peter, if I'm not mistaken, said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life," or the words of life. And so God wants to bring us to that place there that we know that He is the one that has all the answers and there's nobody else to go to. And so let's look at verse 3. "Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick." When Jesus heard that, He said, listen to what He said, "This sickness is not unto death." Now, He was not saying that to Mary and Martha or Lazarus. He was saying that to the disciples that were right there. And, "But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." So listen, this sick, fathom this thought. What did He just say there? This sickness is not unto what? Did Lazarus die? So can you imagine what the disciples are walking in on? You ever stop to think about that? "I thought the Lord said this wasn't unto death. He's dead. He's been dead." Right? But the Lord was getting ready. Listen, it really wasn't finally unto death, was it? Because the Lord rose, He resurrected him. He knew what He was doing, and He was teaching the disciples as well as Mary and Martha. And this is what the Lord does for those that love Him and that He loves as well. Verse 5, "Now Jesus loved Martha." That's plain and simple. He's letting us know. "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When He had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Now, if that was a message to you and I, we'd say, let's go, we got to get going, right? We got to get there. That's because we're not in control like the Lord is. But the Lord is the one that's in control of how much of our lives? All of our lives. Now, the truth is, here's the truth, we don't always feel that way, do we? But listen, we have to fight our feelings and allow our faith or our trust in the Lord to believe the truth. So if the Lord is in control of everything and I'm anxious, then my anxiousness is not the truth. I'm believing my anxiousness, and it's not the truth, is it? Because the truth is God is in control. Now, again, I want you to know, I battle, you know, worrying about things, right? So I don't want you to think like, oh, he doesn't worry. But I do. But I have to remind myself, wait a minute, what am I worrying about? What am I worrying about? Is God not in control? And he is. And so there are times that I don't worry, and I put myself in a place to where I say, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this. And he always comes through. He always comes through. But my head has to be engaged in the Lord to trust him and not just get caught up in living everyday life. And that's what the Lord is wanting to do with us and also with his disciples. So very quickly it said this. He waited 2 days. Verse 7, "Then after that he saith unto his disciples, Let us go to Judea again." After the 2 days, right? And verse 8, "And his disciples said unto him, Master," I mean, look how confident they were in what was going on. "The Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" So what is he worried? Now listen, the Lord just gave a direction. You know what they were saying? Lord, you may not know this. You may not be aware of this, but you're a wanted individual. Did you pick up on that? If we're not careful, listen to what the Lord is doing. Is he working on their faith? Yes. Question, does the Lord not know what's going on? And he's not concerned, is he? So they're concerned, and he's, again, look at verse 8. His disciples say, "And Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" You don't think he remembered that they wanted to stone him? Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world, of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep." Wow. Do you get that? This is good. Because when they get there, they're going to see that he's dead, but the Lord told him, "I'm going to wake him up." Okay, so this is good. Now, verse 12, "Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." They're missing it, aren't they? We can miss it too. "Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." And they've not seen it yet, have they? So this is good, because here's what they're going to understand. When they get on the scene and they find out that Lazarus is dead, they're going to know this: the Lord knew it. We missed it. We thought, you know, when the Lord said he's sleeping, we thought he was resting. But the Lord said, no, he's dead. Verse 15, I am glad for your sakes, and this is so contrary to the natural realm, that I was not there. Mary and Martha were saying, Lord, had you been here? Right? I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto the fellow disciples, let us also go with him, that we may die with him. Man, he's really missing it, isn't he? But that, you know, give him bravery for, you know, credit for bravery, but that's not what was on the agenda. Then when Jesus came, verse 17, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And so we're finding this, the Lord is building this whole thing up for all of his followers. Verse 19, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So now we've got other people involved. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. And so now God is getting ready to reveal what we don't know about the Lord. Now listen, the whole chain of events has now culminated to what the Lord was going to do to teach them. There's a process. There were days that were involved. So imagine this. In our lives also, there may be events that last days that God is allowing into our lives to bring us to a certain place to have spiritual growth and faith and trust in the Lord, right? To grow in these areas. And so there may be several things. And you've heard this, right? Here's what we say. Boy, when it rains, it pours. Don't we say that? And we feel that way, and it's true to a certain extent. But God is in control of all of the rain. Amen? And he has a purpose for it all. Verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, hadst thou been here, my brother had not died. So she's the first one that he's going to tune into, right? He's going to work with. But I know that even now, listen to her, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Isn't that good? But she's not on the same plane. Verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now she just finished saying, I know that God will give you whatever you ask for. He said to her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Are they on the same page? They're not on the same page, but listen, the glory be to the Lord, he's going to put her on the same page in such a way that there's going to be joy and rejoicing in her heart and mind. Not happy right now. Now, have you ever stopped to think about this? The Lord could have just alleviated everything for her and just went to the, he could have just went to the grave and called for Lazarus to come out. But see, there's a process that God allows, get this, there is a process that God allows in our life that he's going to go through for his glory and our benefit. I'm going to tell you, I don't know that we will ever understand the process. Our job is just to trust the Lord. Amen. I mean, that's just as simple. Can we ever figure out how God's working? All we're asked to do is to trust the Lord. How's that song go? Trust and... Isn't that good? Just trust and obey the Lord, and you won't, you know, you'll be on the right place, right, in the right page. All right, so Jesus said, verse 25, unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now he's trying to let, you know, he's dead, but she's got it in the end day. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Good statement. Nothing wrong with that. And when she had so said, she went her way. She went her way. Lord, what do you mean by that? No. Listen. But listen, all respect to her. She's encouraging her sister, too. The Lord's here, right? All right. So she saith unto him, verse 27, yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Verse 28, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. She's got her ideas, right? As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth out to the grave to weep there. But she wasn't. She was going to go see Jesus, wasn't she? Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. They both had the same, listen, we would have done the same thing, amen? At least they had the faith to believe that the Lord could have kept the brother from dying, right? And that, but see, here's the lesson that they got. It's never too late with God. It's never too late with the Lord. We think it's too late. It can be too late for us. It can never be too late for the Lord. And when I say it can be too late for us, in taking advantage of walking by faith and trusting the Lord, we have today. Yesterday's gone. The truth is, we don't know about tomorrow.
Amen.
We don't. You know, we take it for granted. No, maybe we don't. We plan on a tomorrow, but we don't know. One day it's going to end. One day, be it by the rapture or our life, however it's going to happen. But so we, the opportunity that we have to draw near to the Lord is not an hour from now, but right now, right now. And so the Lord, listen, and by the way, the Lord is working and is in tune with the right now for us. And he's wanting us to draw us nearer to him right now. So here she is, and verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. So he has compassion. He understands that. And said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then, of course, the shortest verse in the Bible, but very important. Jesus wept. He cared. He was not callous about this. Listen, he was God. He knew what he was getting ready to do. But because they were brokenhearted, he was mourning, genuinely mourning with those that were mourning. And that's what he's asked us. He says, get in tune. It's compassion. It's true love and caring. When somebody is hurting that you love, you hurt with them. Isn't that the case? Some of you have had grandchildren or great-grandchildren graduate, you rejoice with them. Amen? That's a wonderful time. Praise the Lord. What an achievement. You know, you've done something great in your life. And I want to celebrate with you, right? That's a good thing. And the Lord is there too. The Lord is there to celebrate with us when things are good and festive, and also to mourn with us because he understands better than anybody else. All right, verse 36. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. That's a good thing. They saw that. And some of them said, could not this man, some of them, right? Probably not the ones that said, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Isn't that amazing? Did you see the connection they made? Man, this guy could open the eyes. Couldn't he have kept them alive? All right, the last thought now as we consider this in verse 38. And Why does God allow these trials? And that is to give us a personal experience that strengthens our faith in the power of God's great grace. So nobody's seen this before in their lifetime for sure. And then notice what happens here, verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not, see now he's connecting here, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? He will raise. I'm the resurrection. Then, look at the faith part. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Do you see their faith? They didn't argue with the Lord. They obeyed, and they were blessed by it. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. And by the way, the Lord hears us always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, what? Believed on him. Isn't that good? Believed on him. But also the other side of the coin, verse 46, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. So there's always opposition to the work that God is wanting to do in our lives. But the Lord knew that. But who does he want to bless? Those that are seeking him. Right? And you know what? If you and I seek the Lord, he will show us things to help us or hurt us? To help us. I'm sorry, I should have said it the other way around. To help us. To help us, right? Does he want to discourage our faith or build our faith? So if we will seek the Lord, he's going to do a work, and he's going to enable us to trust him every day. Every day, Lord. And know in the background, we don't know how God's working, but here's what we do know. He's working for his glory and our good. Is he not?
Amen.
Amen. Would you stand? And let's pray as we break off our prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness to each and every one of us. And Lord, how you love us. We don't always understand it. And we thank you for your long-suffering, your patience, your mercy, and your kindness, and how good you are to each and every one of us. Truly, Lord, you do work out. Even when we don't understand it, you truly work out everything for your glory and our good. And we thank you for that. Draw us nearer to you. Lord, do a work in our hearts and minds that we might have excitement about the salvation that you've given to us, that you might work in our lives in such a way that the world would see your mercy and grace in and through us. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.